Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dope!
Felger.
Oh, you idiot!
And Nass.
Holy crap!
Felger and Nass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Will you retire after Sunday's game?
I don't know.
You're not thinking about that right now?
No, I'm thinking all how to get myself to go full go in the game. Just working on that.
Okay, Rob Gronkowski on retirement. He was at a bunch of times. We don't have the sound, but there were other quotes there that he did that he expounded a little bit. You know, asked about retirement, asked about the last game. He says, as of right now, that's the last things I'm thinking about. I love playing the game. A few weeks down the road, you relax, you get some downtime, enjoyment time, and you just see where you want to go with it. So again, he's saying it's going to be a two-week cooling off period, and then I'm going to see. The same reporter decided to have a second go of it, readdressing the question with a more direct approach. Do you want to play past this season? Good question. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Excellent job. Do you want to play? That's a tricky question, he said. It is. Gronkowski said, with widening eyes, sweat possibly forming beneath his... He's just trying to get some answers over here, baby. But like I said, I don't know. I haven't done that sit-down yet. Got to do that sit-down about 2 weeks after. And then someone asked him about... Said, you know, Brady put a 0% chance on his retirement. Would you give me a number on your retirement? And, of course, Gronkowski... You have that sound, don't you, Stu?
Rob, when your quarterback was asked this week if this might be his last game, he said zero. Can you put up that same number?
You know what number I'm putting up in my chances. You guys know my favorite number from Super Bowl when I was my second year, so that's the probability. If you know what I'm talking about. You do. I can see it. So she knows the number, so ask her.
Number one?
Number one sounds good. But that's not the answer.
So that last part got a little creepy. She knows the number. You know, he's like, so 69% chance you retire. What?
No, he's a 15-year-old.
He's just a child.
That joke really is.
That joke should not carry any weight anymore, but with him it just does, because he still gets so genuinely excited to reference 69.
He just loves it.
No, he's the only one that could pull it off, actually.
He just loves his own jokes.
Happiest kid in the world there.
So just quickly, and I don't think this was online, did you catch Stephen A. today saying that he got a text from someone while he was on the show indicating that Gronk's not going to retire because Brady's not retiring?
I did not hear that.
So Stephen A. said it on the show today, and it was, and even the people on the panel with him kind of like said, oh yeah, okay, like, you know, they sort of dismissed him. But I don't know, I'm wondering, man, you know, it's something worth considering. Maybe
I've said all along I'm not convinced he's retiring. The rubber will meet the road if they ask him if he's asked to take a pay cut. Then we'll see what happens.
Yes,
but if they give him the same deal coming back, I could totally see it. You know, I think he's been playing with a bad injury this year. Takes those 2 weeks, gets healthy, come off the globe, another championship. He's another guy. Blew off the entire offseason. Did it really impact him? I mean, I think it impacted him on the field, but did it impact his bottom line? He still got playing time. He still got paid. He's still in the Super Bowl. So I don't think it made him any better. But, you know, in terms of that, so just, you know, blow off the whole offseason, just come back and collect your $9 million, and, you know, why wouldn't he?
By the way, along these lines, the MMQB, Tim Rohan, just came out with a story about Gronk in Hollywood. About can he make it there? He talked to people who have worked with him. I mean, first of all, Joanna Krupa said that he can't act worth a darn. But the important thing, I think, I just skimmed through it. But Gronk, it says that Gronk was offered a big role in an action movie starring John Cena in the fall, and he turned it down. Production doesn't start till the day after the Super Bowl, which is interesting. I don't know what the timing, why he couldn't make it work. I don't know if he's got another one of those cruises planned or something like that. But If he was going to make the jump, that would have been a nice vehicle to do it.
Okay. Then you have Devin McCourty, who hinted at retirement after the... And this sort of bothered you, Maz, that they're putting this stuff on the table at this time?
Well, the Devin McCourty one in particular, like the Gronk one's been out there for a year now. Okay, so that was natural. But McCourty gets asked about it, and all of a sudden he says, well, you know, I'm not sure yet. What? Like, where did this come from? All
of a sudden, Gronk answer from last year.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, but at least with Gronk, it came after the game.
But the question,
but it broke during the game.
It came out Super Bowl Sunday, Pro Football Talk, which is Rosenhaus's guy. So that's Gronk putting that out the day of the game. And I can't remember, was it before the game or first quarter, but it was during Super Bowl Sunday, before Gronkowski met with the media post-game. That's when he was asked about it. Same with this Devin McCourty thing. Why would anyone ever ask him about retirement? Has that ever been mentioned with him?
No.
So that question's a plant.
Yes, that's what I think. I mean, I think the whole thing was a setup that, you know, it's Dion. Either Dion knows McCourty, knows someone who knows McCourty, whatever it is.
Jimmy, why don't you play that again? Dion.
I heard you said you may retire if you win it.
I don't know for sure, man, but I do look at it, you know, if we could win this game, win it with my brother, I don't know, you know, what else I could do that'll top that. So I'm just trying to make sure I enjoy this season and enjoy these last couple days with these guys.
Okay, so this is another guy they can save a lot of money on, $9.5 million off, in real money and cap money comes off the books if they don't re-sign him. So is that a negotiation ploy in some way?
So I don't rule that out, too. That, again, he's going into the final year of his deal, and, you know, the numbers are what they write. I won't bog you down with all of the details, but there's a much smaller dead cap hit for the Patriots in 2019 than there would have been this year. So maybe he is anticipating them going to him. Because let's face it, his game has slipped a little, too. He's not quite the same player he was. And if they say, you know, maybe his attitude is, if they ask me to take a pay cut, I'm not going to take it, and I'm done. That's it. And, I wonder with Gronk, too, if that gives the Patriots some sort of leverage with Brady. In other words, if they go to Gronk and say, take a pay cut, and Gronk says, no, I'm going to retire. Can they then go to Brady and say, well, if we don't cut his pay, you have to take less? Do you want Gronk back or not? Your decision. But then you're going to have to take less because he won't take a pay cut.
See, I think this is all absurd. Because they're $21 million under the cap. When they have so much money to save in so many places, it's not an issue. They should be able to afford them all and pay them all. They have absolutely the room and the money to keep them all and pay them all. And this thing about you have to take less so we can pay that guy, to me, if I were a player, I'd tell the owner to go stuff it. You have the money. You know you have the money. So, like, don't get me started on that. Dominic in Southbridge on the McCourty thing. Go ahead, Dominic.
I can't stand all this talk about retirement, Dominic, and, like, riding. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I can't stand all this talk about McCourty and this retirement, him riding off into the sunset with his brother and talking about their legacy. I'm like, all this kind of, it's like the undefeated season. Everyone could imagine themselves of, like, what happened after his junior sayout was all about, oh, we could be part of forever. It's just without this singular focus on what is next. Like, Gronk's responses were perfect. Just laser focus on what they're doing, what the objective is, and what they taking home that championship.
All right, Dominic, does he have a point there, man?
Yes, absolutely. Again, this is the time that this comes out, Super Bowl week, after Kyle Van Noy makes the comments he makes about, you know, we're not taking anything for granted this year. All of a sudden, Super Bowl week is when it comes out that McCourty might call it quits. Like, that bugs me. I'm not telling you it's a big story. Also, the source bugs me. Because McCourty, of all people, is someone I would not expect this from. To me, he's the classic guy that would announce it after the game and go, that was it, guys. I'm done. See you later.
Frank in Marshfield, what do you got for us? Hello, Frank. His comment line says, Aqib Talib in big games. If you're a fan of the Rams, if you're a coach of the Rams, do you feel good about Aqib Talib, or are you worried about Aqib Talib? Because I've seen him overheat in a lot of these games.
You should be worried. You know, he is going to overheat. He is going to, especially with Belichick and Brady on the other sideline, like, I think we have the potential for a huge blow-up out of him. And, you know, he could even, like, get too excited and pull a hammy, knowing him, with some of his lower body stuff that he's had. So, I mean, if they lose Aqib Talib all of a sudden in the middle of the game, they're in huge trouble. And it's I would say there's a decent shot of that.
The Rams got three of those guys.
Peters, oh, yeah. Sue, Peters is and Talib.
I mean, those guys are all, like, you know, just time bombs.
Get up on them. Get up on them, and they all could implode. Matthew in Framingham, quickly.
It's the key to leave out there, but tuck in your chain. But I wanted to ask Bedard two questions. One from the AFC Championship. On that play when everyone rolled right and he threw left to Williams and he had a wide open field, who was that assignment? And the second one is for this Super Bowl coming up, I think that this game is going to be won in the first quarter in the trenches. Who's going to establish themselves? I think Scarnecchia is the most underrated person in this whole equation because they have to figure out.
Okay, well, thank God we give him tons of props. He's not underrated here. We know what he is and what he does. The Williams throwback long touchdown, was that one of the linebackers? Was that Van Noy? And well, that leads to a bigger point to me about Van Noy.
I thought that Claiborne probably should have hit him coming out of the backfield. They don't give many backside free releases to running backs in that scheme. And Claiborne forgot about him. But it also looked like Van Noy had him, had the running back Williams in man-to-man. So he should have been there, but he got lost with the play fake and was on the other side of the field, and the Patriots looked bad. I think it was a combination.
For as good as Van Noy's been this year, he's still really susceptible to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not a good covering backer.
He's great coming forward.
Exactly.
Maybe going back, but man-to-man.
Side-to-side. He's great at timing out his blitzes and getting in the backfield and tackles for losses and quarterback pressures. Like, he's great. If I'm the Rams, I'm getting him going the other way. I'm getting him off the line of scrimmage. I'm making him play in space in that thing because I think he's still, you know, a weakness.
That's any of their linebackers, I feel
sure,
like. Roberts
sure
can get upfield, even Hightower still,
so
but
right
in coverage, ugh.
So right. So how do you isolate that?
Well, you with backs and tight ends. I mean, this is why I think, you know, Gurley's a huge part of this game.
It's why McVay's a huge part of this game.
Well, so that's true.
Does McVay see it when others don't? I mean, even though it's right in front of you. Does McVay see it, and does McVay go after it, and does he exploit it?
He should. I mean, that play, that play reminded me, I don't know if people remember this, it was one against Carolina last
year. Fozzie Whitaker.
Yeah.
Remember? Bolton down the left side, wide open.
Well, I mean, and Van Noy got the touchdown that that Mahomes missed right before his sack. Williams on a real route, that was Van Noy, 5 yards behind him in coverage. So, I mean, it's hard. Like, most linebackers lose that matchup. And the Patriots linebackers definitely do. Definitely do. So we'll see if the whiz kid there in Los Angeles can isolate that. 10 questions coming up with the big boy here from Atlanta right after these words. Again, we're in the 3 o'clock hour now of our Tuesday show. This hour of the program is brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Thanks for them for sponsoring this hour. Feldgram as this week are presented by Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. 10 questions with Bedard next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
10 questions with Greg Bedard, Super Bowl edition. 10 questions, 10 minutes. We have to stay on time. So, Jimmy, give us some buzzer options, please.
You guys are like cake terrorists.
Great, great, great call. Next.
So I want them to change the rules so next time you lose.
I stand by that. Next.
They were pointing a laser at Brady.
I'm sure we got many of those. Next.
Sean McVay, the idiot. He's got a get-back coach. Overrated.
It's what you people sound like. I'm sorry. Next.
This game is not a slam dunk. And anyone who acts like that is an asshat.
Good job, Mass. Good take. Next.
No, early in the year, Sony Michel sucked the boo.
Now he just sucks. Is that it? Okay, babe, hit whatever one they are.
This game is not a slam dunk. And anyone who acts like that is an asshat.
Bedard, what is your favorite non-Patriot Super Bowl of your lifetime?
It's the first one that I vividly remember. Super Bowl 16, Niners, Bengals. I don't know. It was, you know, the Silver Dome. It was cool. It was a great game. So, fourth down stops.
So that was the first of the two. That wasn't the John Taylor one.
That was Joe Montana's first title.
One. Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, the first one. Two. Super Bowl 16. I just remember watching it. I can remember to this day. And just the whole spectacle of it, I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah, the second one of the Bengals and Niners, Super Bowl 23. Joe Montana, 3 minutes to go, length of the field, 8 for 9 for 97 yards and a touchdown to John Taylor. That's the one I remember.
Colts Saints 2009, peak P-Pants Peyton Manning. That game is my cocaine. And that pick six to Tracy Porter was like pure uncut Colombian. It was. I'll tell you right now, I'm this petty. I watch that play on YouTube like 3 times a year because Nance's call is so perfect. It's so like deep into the game. I think it's like 6, 5 minutes left. The Colts are going down to score. Picked off. Look out. Takes it to the house. Oh, it's the best. The hardest I ever cheered for a team that I didn't actually root for. The Saints that year.
Excellent. Next.
You guys are like take terrorists.
Number 9, Josh Gordon, still under contract to the Patriots next year. He's in rehab. Apparently the Pats are helping to pay for rehab, so he's still technically a Patriot. Should he be? Do you want him on the team next year?
Well, A, he should be in rehab. You know, that's separate. You said should he.
No. Should he still be a Patriot is what I meant. Should he still be a Patriot? Do you want him on the team next year?
No. Are we going to do this again?
Thank you.
Really? I mean, well, first of all, I don't think he's going to be cleared for next season. I think it's going way beyond, but... You know, it could be he could be 40 years old, and some Patriots fans will want him back here. Yeah, he's a weapon. He'd be great with Brady.
Stretch the field.
Take the top off the defense.
No, let's be done with this. We're not going to do this again. He proved again. He is the least reliable player in almost NFL history. You could say. I mean, we said it before. He's Steve Howe. He's all these chronic abusers. You know, I'm glad he's getting help. I don't know if the Patriots are mandated to pay for that or not, but, you know, great job on that account, and I hope he gets better, but the bus is leaving. You got to be more consistent as a team.
What he said.
I'm with 100%.
Yeah, me too.
You don't need the guy. Do you agree, Murray?
Yeah. No, I believe in second chances, sixth and seventh. No, move on.
Next.
So I want them to change the rules so next time you lose.
Number 8. Take your pick at quarterback for the next 5 years.
And we're taking coach scheme, all that stuff out of the equation? Or are we saying Goff with McVay, Darnold with Gase?
I haven't asked the question yet. No one knows what I'm talking about yet.
You were done with it.
No, I didn't. I said take your pick at quarterback the next 5 years, Jared Goff or Sam Darnold. Okay, I didn't say the names yet.
You didn't give the names yet.
You jumped the gun.
You're just looking at him.
Okay.
The way you interpreted it, you could have said Pat Mahomes.
You're reading off the screen. The people have not heard the question. Who would you rather have?
Amped up.
Okay, so... Neutral coach. You know, Joe Blow is the coach, okay? Who's a good coach, but it's not McVay. It's not a Gase. It's just a good, solid, normal coach. Goff or Darnold?
Changes the question.
Darnold. He's the more naturally talented guy. He thinks better on his feet. He's the better quarterback.
So until you change the question, I said Goff because he's got McVay. And that whole thing works. Like, I don't know what Darnold's going to be. I don't know, you know, how it's going to work out with his coach in the long term.
You
don't
think Case helped Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah. Gase helped Ryan Tannehill.
Did he? You know, I mean, I asked a question like he did.
A little bit.
But as much as you could.
Did he?
This guy's garbage.
Did he? Because Tannehill, to me, felt the same.
I mean, he helped Jay Cutler. That's saying something.
Tell you what. Tebow. I'm staying Goff there. I'm staying Goff. I just think the McVay thing's too huge of a... I know he's going to be good with McVay.
Who's a more talented quarterback?
Darnold.
So Darnold over Goff. There's your answer. Next.
They were pointing a laser at Brady.
Number 7. Thoughts on Atlanta as a host city?
Wait, let me see if I do this right. It sucks. It blows. It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, what? It's not Minneapolis, but in terms of the setup for the media and what I have to do, it's terrible. You should have seen the hotel where they had the Rams today. It might as well have been the bathroom here. I mean, it was terrible. Nobody could fit. There weren't even players there. And then the buses are buses drop you off like 10 miles away from the media center. Like, this is some sort of like military compound that you can't get near. Like, it's terrible.
I like it.
You just like the scooter.
No, I have to admit, I like it. I like it better than I thought I would. They have some good restaurants here. Murray took me to a good rib joint last night. Tonight, who knows what kind of trouble I'm going to get into with Murray.
Yeah, that's because you don't have to do actual work when you're here.
The convention center is way better than being in the mall in Minneapolis.
No, the no work thing's a big factor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
I think it's been excellent. Convenient, a lot of security, and at the risk of sounding like a cold a-hole, let me tell you this. From having lived here, they've somehow solved, maybe temporarily, the homeless and vagrant problem, because this area was like tent cities on certain streets, and they've paid them off to go away, or they've turned them into mailboxes.
Well, there's 4,000 cops out there. They've scared them off. To me, it's okay, you know, at the five. To me, as I've come to, you know, I've been, this is like my, I want to say it's like my 15th, 20th Super Bowl. I've been to so many of them. 10 for Felger and Maz alone. I've come to find, you know what I want? I want it to be warm, or I want it to be walkable. Ideally, both. New Orleans.
Both.
Okay? Ideally, both. It's New Orleans, or San Diego was like that when we went there. Or if it goes to Miami Beach, you know, that can be that. So, warm, walkable. But if it's going to be not climate, you know, at least make it walkable.
Sure.
And that's what, so this is, Atlanta's walkable. Atlanta's walkable.
I'm okay with it so far.
Still not a great city.
Ask me tomorrow.
Next.
Sean McVay, the idiot. He's got a get-back coach. Overrated.
This is what you guys sound like. If you could change one thing about the Super Bowl experience, anything, about the game, the week, the format, you can give this to me as a fan or as a media member, what would it be? What would you change about this whole McGilla?
No doubt for me, it is four cities get the Super Bowl, and that's it. Miami, New Orleans, Phoenix, and L.A. That's it. And they can't hold cities hostages to pay for stadiums so they get Super Bowls. It goes to four places where it's warm and or walkable, like you said, those places.
Make Monday a holiday or do it on a holiday weekend.
Great
good one.
To me, that
make I mean, it, they're so close to doing it. If you just push the season back 2 weeks, you got the President's Day.
Yeah, exactly. To me, that's what they should do. The day after the Super Bowl really should be a holiday.
It's kind of echoing what you and Bedard said. Only four cities. The only city I change is Vegas. New Orleans, L.A., Vegas, Miami.
Good
that's
one.
It.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Warm, fun, convenient.
Locations. Locations are the most important thing. From our standpoint, from a fan standpoint, do you think people would say the bye week?
Yes. Well, I think the fans would say the holiday. Make Monday the day after a day off.
Why not just play on Saturday?
We'll do that some other time. Next.
No, early in the year, Sony Michel sucked and blew.
Number five, tool bag question. Biggest Rams tool bag. I'd like, please, current edition and lifetime tool bag Ram.
Current? Sue. Former? Lawrence Phillips. What a complete disaster that guy was.
Pretty good.
So talented.
Nickel Roby Coleman. You tool. Dude, shut your mouth. You're not that good. First of all, it was a penalty. And secondly, you're taunting Tom Brady. Like, have a clue. Really, that's idiotic. All time, Eric Dickerson takes the catch. He's a runaway. It's Eric Dickerson.
I'm with Greg on this. It's Sue, currently Lawrence Phillips all time. How many arrests? Murdered his cellmate. Unfortunately, killed himself. But that guy was a disaster, and he was talented.
Was OJ ever a Ram for a second, or was that a Niner?
No, he was a Niner.
OJ was a Niner.
I do find it interesting, though, that no one named Marshall Faulk.
Oh, you guys are losing your touch.
Patriots fans will.
Yeah, they will.
He was number two on my list.
Next.
You guys are like cake terrorists.
Favorite Ram of all time. Favorite Ram.
Eric Dickerson.
Oh God.
Dude was a
you
badass
like
in the backfield. He was so 2,100 yards in his third season. That stood for a long time as the only 2,000-yard season. He was cool. It was L.A. The light shining off his helmet, the way he ran, it was awesome.
So when you asked this question about the Chargers, do you remember who I said?
It wasn't Dan Fouts.
Charlie Joyner.
Charlie Joyner, right.
Harold Jackson with the Rams. Same kind of receiver. Like, just a reliable pro. He actually played for the Patriots late in his career. Harold Jackson's the guy I go with.
Marshall Faulk.
Oh, love it, Murray.
I love the running backs, and at
that's
his peak.
That's a fantasy.
He was
so
nasty.
That's a fantasy question.
I don't play fantasy football, you guys.
Can we do who are the two biggest tool bags on this show next?
Next question, Jimmy.
This game is not a slam dunk. And anyone who acts like that is an asshat.
Well said. Take your pick. This is a fantasy question. Who's going to have more rushing yards on Sunday? Just right at Murray's alley, the most useless stat in the world, rushing yards. He rushed for blah many yards. Anyway, who's going to have more? Murray, I'll start with you.
It's going to be something.
Hold on. I had, once again, I haven't given the...
Sorry. Yeah, premature answer.
My God. Todd Gurley or Sony Michel?
I'm going to go with Sony Michel in this. I am. Because I think that Gurley's really dealing with a knee issue. I know you don't think he's hurt, but it's going to be Michel.
Gurley. I know you're shocked by that answer.
No, because you like the Rams O-line versus the Pats D-line in this game.
Yes, I do. I like the Rams O-line against the Pats. I think the Rams are going to be able to run the ball.
I'm going with Michel because I think that Gurley's going to split carries with Anderson. And so I think that Michelle's just going to have more opportunities. And I think the Patriots are going to take advantage of the undersized Rams front like they have in the first two games.
Last one. Jimmy, hit it.
They were pointing a laser at Brady.
Number one.
He actually missed one.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to let you know that. Number three.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have two more. Okay. The Rams are wearing their throwback uniforms in this game. Okay. Like they did against the Cowboys. Do you like those uniforms? Should they make them permanent? Are they among the best uniforms in the league, or do you not like them? How do you feel about the unis?
I think they're fine. I'm not super excited about them. I mean, you know, I do think they're cool. I want Vince Ferragamo back, but the Chargers throwbacks are by far number one.
I do like them. To me, you know, I love the color scheme, the blue and the gold or the yellow, call it whatever you want. I don't know what it is. I love it. And to me, I put them in the top, I don't know, 5-10 uniforms in the league. I love them.
Top five all time. From an aesthetic standpoint, this Super Bowl is going to look gorgeous. I love them.
Beautiful. Beautiful uniform. And they're going away from it. They're going back to the old, like the Rams
in the
60s used to be white and blue, right, before they threw in the yellow. And that's what they're going back to for the real uniforms, taking all the gold out of it, I guess. And use those as a throw. Make those your real freaking uniforms.
Yeah, blue and yellow is good together. I like it with Michigan, too. I think those uniforms are good.
Okay, sorry, Jimmy. Now the last one.
No, early in the year, Sony Michel sucked in blue.
Okay, what teams should the league be rooting for to be back in the Super Bowl next year? What teams are best for the league?
Rams, Chiefs, the young
that's my
Mahomes.
Answer. That's my answer. That's my answer.
That's what I had too.
They need validation from the next wave.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't have Rams. I had Chiefs, Niners.
Oh, love it, Maz. Good job. No, but
Jimmy,
Galloping Chicken.
That does the same thing. Whether it's Garoppolo in there, I'd also throw in, you know, whether it's Baker Mayfield, Cleveland, or Darnold and the Jets. Not that they have a good chance, but they need one of those
next generation
guys. Because Goff isn't quite considered that, is he? It's really more McVay's show there. But they need. You know, they really need one of those next guys now to get to this level.
Mahomes and Jimmy G.
As opposed to the same guy for the last 20 years. What was it, Josh? The last 20 years, it's been Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, and Flacco twice. Those have been the only since Rich Gannon in 02, okay? Since 02, it's been Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, and then Flacco sneaking in a couple times. It's been the same three guys.
Yeah, so the AFC is a big one. They need new blood in the AFC.
Okay. I say Pats, Packers.
Attaboy, Murray.
Because F everybody else, and you have star power at the most important position.
Thank you. F everybody else. No new names. Let's keep the same. Back to your phones right after this. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, now your guys up on the stand, he talked about some of the things about the comment about how old Tom Brady is now. I want to give you an opportunity to kind of tell us what you said, and then clarify what you want to get out to people.
Right. I was asked a question about when I was in Buffalo. They asked me about how Tom Brady is from then to now. Only thing I said was his age. I said nothing about that he's too old. I never said that he can't do anything. Only thing I said was his age is the only thing that changed from now to here. And I feel like his skills and his arm is still strong. He's still the GOAT. He's still the legend. That's what I want to get across.
Again, Nickel Robey Smith backtracking from his comments in Bleacher or Report. Coleman. What? I'm sorry. What's his name?
Nickel Robey Cole.
Whatever. Whatever that guy's name is. Too late, buddy. Too
much
late.
Too late.
Way too late.
Oh yeah, the proverbial toothpaste is out of the tube.
And I saw it live. The NFL Network's coverage of that thing last night. And you know, right after his interview, they went back up to the desk where Les Snead, the GM of the Rams, was sitting. And they asked Les Snead, how'd he do? He said, good recovery there. Good recovery. And I remember saying to the TV, I said this earlier, there is no recovery, dude. It's over. It's over. The Brady's got the comment. The Pats have the comment. It's been said. No matter what you say after the fact, it's over. It's over, dude. Like, I almost think they'd be better off just going the other way. Yeah, you know, he's the same guy. We think we can beat him. You know, like, just start doing that because you're not going to be able to take it back.
Like the Giants in 07.
You're not going to be able to take it back. You know, you're almost better off just doing the other thing and seeing.
Embrace it.
And I'm not telling you that it'll work, but might as well go the other way and really start to pound Brady. Say, you know what? We don't think he's the same player, and we think we can beat him. I mean, the smart thing is to say nothing. I mean, that's the approach, is to say nothing. But since the knucklehead went and opened up his mouth, and now it's out there, and they can't take it back, and they can't recover, might as well own it.
I mean, I look at this guy and I say, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this guy to me is a huge potential weak link on that defense. I look at him and I say, he had that horrible PI in the NFC Championship game. And I'm sorry, that he wasn't playing the ball at all. He just lined the guy up and ran into him. I look at that and say, what are you thinking? Really, what are you thinking? And then you say this about Brady. And I look at some of the other guys on that defense and say what you will about them being mercurial or whatever else, all of which is true. But they're talented. Sue's got talent. Donald's got talent. Peters has talent, even if he's not playing great. Tlaib's got talent. There are a lot of guys there that can play. This guy, I don't think this guy can play.
You think this guy's going to be on Edelman to start the game, Greg?
I do. I think that's the way they start. And then if there's an issue, if the Patriots are burning him, then I think McVay has Phillips change to Tlaib. But I think that's the way they go. They love him. And, you know, if you go by Pro Football Focus, he was their highest-rated cornerback. They love him there. You know the Brady fist pump, yeah, in his face is coming. You know who else also sort of backtracked a little bit last night? Not only Chung, but McVay. Because,
definitely about the Belichick texting
yes,
thing.
He was bad.
He was absolutely taking that back all night, every time he was asked.
As soon as I was down there, and I was right near where Bill and McVay were on the stage. So even before they got to him, I saw them. Like, McVay went, like, straight up to Belichick. They were talking in each other's ear. And then when he was asked about it, he's like, that got overblown. No, it didn't. You said it. You were a moron. You know, everybody knows if you talk to Bill or are a friend of Bill, you don't publicize it. You just don't. Because that's how you get axed out. So he spoke out of turn, too.
Greg, can Robey Coleman play? Because I don't think he can.
He can. He just gets undisciplined. And, he has problems that way. But, you know, look, we've talked about it before. Slot corner, and we hear this from Patriots fans. Well, Jonathan Jones sucks. This and that. Slot corner is the hardest position on defense. I'm sorry.
But it's also generally your third or fourth corner. I mean, your best two guys are going to be outside. Usually, right?
Usually, but I mean, it's a different profile. I mean, you have to be, you know, on the outside, you could be long and not as fast. On the inside, you have to have quick feet, and you have to, for a guy who has a two-way go every time. I mean, it's impossible, you know, unless you have sort of tilted coverage.
I'd like to think that Belichick sent another text after that came out last
yes.
night, which, guess you stepped in it, eh, Sean? Poop emoji. Crying, laughing emoji.
He definitely just sent him just the poop emoji.
What's the shut you off emoji? What's the shut you down, put you on,
stop sign
leave
emoji.
Them hanging, or what's it called? You leave them open? You know, like, what's that? Is there an emoji?
You could put a stop sign emoji, like, you know, he's going to stop them. But no, for last night, now you stepped in it, Sean. Poop emoji, crying, laughing emoji. Still all good with me, bruh. Fist bump emoji, send.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. We'll take some of your calls, and Bedard gives us his final thoughts on the game.
Felger and Maz.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know how the Patriots love to use bulletin board material, so how important is it?
Who don't? Everybody like to use bulletin board material.
So is it important to make sure, you know what I'm saying, they're controversial this week?
Patrick Chung say they gonna kick our ass. Talk about that.
Yeah, talk about that. But no one does. Because the Rams don't have millions of whiny fans to stir and go, oh, he said he's going to kick our ass. But the Patriots sure do, man. And the team plays right along with it, too. So what you have is this nonstop sort of persecution complex. Everybody hates us. The haters with Brady, it's insufferable.
Well, look, I don't like it either, but I'll say this in defense of the Patriots fans. And I don't know this because I've never rooted for a team that has won this much. But the amount that they've won, I mean, every season they win at least 12 games, 13 games, go to the Final Four or go to the Super Bowl. I mean, if they didn't do this stuff, it would get boring. I mean, I think this is how the fans mix it up, keep their interest, keep their peak level up. And so in that regard, I don't have that big of a problem.
Oh, well, so I mean, you might be right. I mean, they're here every year, so what's the story? You got to make one. And so you turn hypersensitive? I mean, I guess if that's what does it for you, but it's insufferable to listen to. It's painful.
See, I have no issue with the team doing it. Like, that I get.
I think it's annoying.
So the player, Brady wants to create stuff? Go ahead. All the good ones do. Like, to me, that's... But the fans? Oh, good God, lighten up like you're wearing the uniform, you big pansy. God, shut up already.
So, Greg, quickly before... Well, you know what? Let me grab a few phones, and I'll get your final word. Here's John in Plymouth. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of give my take, but I think with, like, my knowledge of the cap and kind of the structure of their contracts, you guys might have a few things to say. I think with Brady and Gronk, I think you take them, you sit them down in a room, you show them their numbers throughout this year and what it would have been like if that pass through Gronk's hands actually stood instead of D4's getting called up line. And you say, listen, we're not going to lower your contracts, but you're staying the same. You're not getting any more money. And we're going to take the cap we have and we're going to pay people like Trent Brown. I think we should franchise Flowers and then maybe go after, get a little creative, go after Golden Tate, maybe some.
Okay, let me just stop you before you go too far. If they ask Gronkowski to take a pay cut, what does he do?
He says no, and then he goes to Tom, who then goes to Robert. And then we're right back in the same place.
I agree with Greg.
It is. I think they're linked.
I bet Gronkowski's not going to have to take a cut.
I don't think he is going to have to take it. At the end of the day, I don't think he's going to have to take a cut.
I agree with you.
Well, because of Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so again, this has to be an asterisk next to our little Brady bet. I didn't think of it yesterday. But if they go to Gronk and ask him to take a pay cut, and he says no, and then they go to Tom or whatever, and they say, well, Gronk's going to stay, and we're not messing with him. He's not taking a cut, so you've got to stay where you are, too.
I see that to be entirely plausible, Maz, entirely plausible. Dave and Wellesley, the only thing that's implausible is that they need to do that to fit both under their budget or their salary cap. That's laughable, but they'll use it. You know, they'll use it, and again, everyone will eat it up because they'll tell you that's the way it is, but it ain't.
Take on the cap is crap.
So right. Dave and Wellesley. Hi, Dave.
First, thoughts and prayers to Bedard and all the journalists who have to endure the tough conditions of
the media bus and walking and crammed.
I know, right?
Greg, I feel, Greg, I
power to the people.
I'm going to start a fund for you to get one of those scooters that you see people in Stop and Shop running around. So those journalistic conditions, I mean, you don't deserve that. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I know. Tell me about it.
Bad for you, Bedard.
Thank you.
I mean, come on. Have a little
self-awareness.
Better
be a big scooter.
What else you got, Dave?
I want a final binding decision on the run game, not only in the Super Bowl, but in general. Does it matter? I still say no. I heard Chris Long talk about between the tackle running yesterday. That was important. Ted Johnson talked about it. I still am a hard line believer. It means nothing. But I want a final decision on it because I really feel like it's flip-flopping at this point.
No, the final decision is you're right. You're right on that one, buddy. Absolutely. I mean, that's that. I mean, to me, if you don't have a passing game, you're porked. It's over. I don't care how good your running game is. So if you've got a running game to go along with your passing game, then you're in business. And I think both these teams in the Super Bowl exemplify that. The Pats' running game, being able to run against small defenses and defenses that are allowing you to run, their ability to do that has been a big thing for them, obviously. But if you start with that running game ahead of your passing game, you suck.
Absolutely true.
Thank you.
100% true.
Thank you.
It's about the only thing you've ever been right about.
Thank you.
I mean, the bottom line is if you can only throw, you can win. If you can only run, you're not going to win.
You're 4-12.
Yeah, you're not going to win.
If you can only run, you're 4-12. At best, you're the Cowboys. And until that Cowboys offense comes into the modern era, that's as far as they're going to go. Dan and Quincy, I only have a minute for you. Go ahead, please.
Before I get to Brady and his giddy demeanor, duplicitous demeanor, Felger, if Welker makes the catch, do they win the game?
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I called you last week, and I said that they left both Giants games on the table. In addition,
I still think the Giants
game,
were the better team. I still think the Giants were the better team.
You just said if Welker makes the catch, they win the game.
Right. Sometimes a better team doesn't win. I think the Giants were a better team.
Oh, God. My God, man. You're so... I can't... one play either here or there.
Danny, I never said you couldn't have won the game, and now you've taken up your whole minute. You've called on something else, and you wasted my time on this, because as usual, you always go backward 2 weeks. You always
or
go backward
years.
2 weeks.
Yeah, or 7 years.
The Giants were the better team. They deserved to win the game. Could the Patriots have won? Yes, they could have won. Yes. Okay, can you understand that? What's your
table.
Point today?
That's what we were talking about last week. They left one on the table. Okay?
I don't consider that.
Okay, whatever. But you're being duplicitous yourself. I mean, you sit there and
Danny,
argue
get to
God.
The point.
What's all today's right. point?
No, I'm just saying, I just find it unbelievable how Brady's demeanor has gone from, you know, before the San Diego game, talking about retire next year, and he's giddy. And last year he renegated on the coach. They lost. I honestly think that he didn't think they were going to get back here after last year's Super Bowl. And now he's in love with the coach, and he's so giddy, and it's duplicitous. He's a fair weather player. Most of them are.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on this?
So I think he's right. I think that things, you know, are good now, and so he and Bill are fine. But I think that if and when they encounter some other bump somewhere, all of that feeling for Belichick, all the negative feeling that he has, will come back to the surface. I'm not telling you it's ripped apart or anything of the like. I'm just telling you that when stuff like that happens, it gets pushed down, but it doesn't get taken away. It gets pushed down.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do with feelings, Maz.
Yes. That's right. Deny them.
Yeah. Repress them.
Yeah. Yes, repress them.
That's what a real man does.
But if and when they have some other disagreement over something, Brady will get his back up about Guerrero again or whatever. It's not gone forever.
Quickly, what stands out about Brady's attitude to you down here?
Just that he has an edge. Like, he's letting his bad boy out from the video after the Chiefs game and, you know, all that stuff and all the talk. And then even his answer yesterday about giving – if he had any advice for Jared Goff, like, you know, he's kind of just letting his inner a-hole sort of fly a little bit.
His competitive nature.
Yeah. And I like it because it's part of what's made him great. We just don't get to see it very often. You hear it from all the guys inside, but rarely do we get to see it.
So
you see the Tom Senator guy.
It's so rare that you have to worry about overconfidence with the Patriots, but it's happened on occasion. It might have happened last year. They might have looked at the Eagles and said, backup quarterback ain't going to happen, so we're going to lose focus a little bit last year. I think it happened in 07. You know, I think that was a factor.
15?
In 07. In 2015?
The year at the end of the season?
They managed the end of the season. No question they thought it didn't matter where we play, we'll win the AFC Championship, and that absolutely came back to bite them. Excellent point, Maz. Absolutely. I wonder with Brady, you know, there was a report from Giardi last week as he came into the locker room, I'm the baddest mofo on the planet or whatever.
Yep.
And he goes out and throws an interception in the end zone on the first, you know, drive, or the first half, I meant to say. Certainly he made the game-winning plays in that game, but I just wonder if Brady, you know, if he needs to just check that a little bit. I don't know.
I mean, look, you know what my feeling is. I don't think he was as good in the AFC Championship game as everyone else does. And we're left with what happened at the end, and at the end he was brilliant. He was absolutely off the charts good in the fourth quarter and overtime. But his rating for the game was a 77, and he should have had three picks.
And so was the other guy. The other guy was off the charts brilliant in the fourth quarter, too. It's what the game became. I don't know. Just, you know, that's all. I wonder if Brady ever tends to overconfidence a little bit.
I think Giardi left out the second part of that quote, which was, "I'm the baddest mofo against cover three."
Is that what he said?
No. I'm just joking. But, you know, in general.
See, football X and O humor right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, football.
I just wasn't ready for it.
In general, I don't think it's much of an issue. Humor.
Dog, dog, who's there? Red dog.
Red dog who?
Green dog. You're right.
Who's
I don't,
there?
I don't
Sam.
I don't think it matters in this game because I think this team learned a lot of lessons from last year. I think those guys are carrying last year's Super Bowl and how that felt. I think they're going to keep inside. I think they're using that a lot. And I think as we get closer to the game, that's going to be the rallying cry that they don't want to feel that again.
Give me a minute on who you like this week and why.
I haven't made my pick yet. I have more film to watch. I do like the – I mean, I picked the Patriots in the first two games. I will probably pick them again. And part of it is what happened last year. But I also think that the Patriots, the focus is on the interior guys, which it should be for the Rams. Donald, Sue, Brockers. It should be. I think the game's going to be played a lot on the edges. I think they're going to fold down against those guys, get out against their sort of skinny linebackers. All their linebackers, they're all 250 pounds or less. And so if they can get out on them and make Tlaib and Peters have to tackle and those safeties, advantage Patriots. And I think that's going to be a big part of their game plan. How do the Rams adjust?
Okay, Bedard, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
all right.
it.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Big boy here from Atlanta.
See you, Greg.
In the books. We have no commercials, just an update from Murray, and we come back. We're going to update you on the very latest on the Anthony Davis stuff, some developing opinions on the Anthony Davis stuff. We'll mix that in with your calls right after Murray's update. Again, no spots here.
Younger and Mass, the Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.